Blessed citizens, I bid you all a pleasant greeting on this most glorious of days. Throughout the vast expanse of our galaxy, there are innumerable species who have laid claim to the stars, all in the hopes that they may forge a void-spanning empire which will endure the long march of time as the lasting legacy of their unmatched might. But out of all of the alien factions which we have thus far encountered, there is one which can only be considered as an utterly pervasive blight, and its members have marred and looted an uncountable number of worlds, all in the violent pursuit of a great Wah. This species needs no introduction, for we're all too well aware of the green-skinned orcs. The brutish mobs of boys are a true plague within the stars, and no matter where you are within the galaxy, you can be sure that an orc warband is to be concerningly close to your home. The reason I say this is because in the distant past of man, before even the days of the Horus Heresy, our ancestors upon Terra sent out a probe to scan the most distant regions of the universe in the hopes that they would make some new great discovery regarding the nature of reality. Unfortunately, however, even after being adrift for 14,000 years, the signals which the tech priests receive are fairly garbled. But from what they can decipher, much of their responses are easily identifiable as being of orcish origin. This means that no matter where we travel to, that it is truly doubtful for us to find some form of safe refuge from the green-skinned menace, and so they are a threat which we must be ever prepared to contend with. The reason I make this point is that you must realize that the orcs exist across the entire breadth of space. And yet, despite the thousands of light years of distance between the tribes, there are some incredibly well-conserved cultural practices which almost seem to manifest themselves as an innate trait of their species. Some of these routines seem to be hard-coded within their genomes. For instance, the mechs will have an overwhelming urge to tinker and modify any pieces of equipment they can find. And even if they are not proficient in this skill, their belief in their own abilities often proves to be enough for them to build a shiny new engine or snazzy new gun without any significant difficulty. But today we are not to discuss these odd boys, and instead we are to investigate the quasi-religion known as the Cult of Speed. All orcs love to go fast, and the thrill of feeling the wind blowing through your topknot as you race through a canyon at some ungodly speed is nothing short of intoxicating to the green skins. But most of the time, an orc will simply see their transportation as being a method for getting into a battle, and they would sooner choose to fight and brawl with an adversary over anything else. The members of the Cult of Speed, however, have a different opinion on this matter. For them, speed is everything. They will do whatever they can to go faster than any other orc, and their entire lives will be dedicated towards the fine art of zooming about, all in their pursuit of a new top speed. With this in mind, they shall be our focus today, and we will be exploring every aspect of their cult which has been identified thus far. To begin, I shall lay out what we know of their cult and of the common obsessions and interests which exist between its members. This will include general cultural practices as well as proclivities in wartime, since this need for speed will often manifest in some truly spectacular ways upon a battlefield. We will then investigate some of the more common of vehicles to be owned by a speed freak, before finally looking into the strange and maddened subgroup known as the Fly Boys. The orcs are nothing short of barbaric, and to consider them as being disciplined or organized in any traditional sense is tantamount to heresy, And yet within the cult of speed, there is one thing that they worship above all else. As one could expect from their name, the cultists simply aspire towards one thing, and it is to attain a new state of speed, accelerating faster and faster until none other within the galaxy can compare to their unmatched velocity. For the orcs, they have an innate desire and compulsion towards the raucous chaos of battle. This is because their species was initially conceived to act as a weaponized force, known as the Kroaks, by the ancient Brain Boys, who instilled within their fungoid souls an obsession with engaging in war. As the long years have come and gone, and as the Kroaks have devolved into the orcs which we know them as today, much has changed within their species, and yet this vestigial driving force towards anarchic turmoil still remains. Many orcs will pursue this desire by simply going into battle, much like their ancient ancestors did, whereas other runtier boys will be content with simply brawling around a campfire, knocking out a few of each other's teeth, before sharing a hearty mug of fungal beer with one another and retreating into their huts for a well-earned sleep. This is all well and good for these boys, but for some, the humdrum of war can't quite scratch their genomic itch, but they have found that the roar of an engine does in fact temper the fires within them, firing up the great rumbling hearts of their war bikes, watching the black smog belch out from their exhausts and revving up their motors provides them with a sense of satisfaction comparable to nothing else. And these boys will never be happier or more content with their place in life than when firmly placed behind the wheel of their personalized vehicle. It is rather interesting that this urgent need to go into battle can be substituted by simply going fast, but I believe that there is more to this situation than first meets the eye. We should first consider what it is that satisfies a boy from going into battle. He will feel the maddened rush of adrenaline coursing through his veins. His eardrums will be pushed to a near bursting point from the immense roars of his enemies. And his very bones will reverberate from the crashing explosions appearing all around him. To some of you, this probably sounds like it is nothing short of horrific, but you must remember that for an orc, this is his true niche. And being in the center of a colossal, apocalyptic war could be considered as the happy place for most boys within the galaxy. But now, with that in mind, you should realize that much of these sensations are not exclusively attainable from war. And in fact, a boy could experience much of this from riding in his tricked-out war buggy instead. For but a moment, let us place ourselves in the boots of an orc, sitting behind the wheel of his large automobile, where he is ready to engage in a race with his tribal members. This story shall take but a brief moment. However, it will elucidate some of the feelings experienced by an adherent to the cult of speed when they are rocketing themselves towards a new future. The air will be thick with anticipation. The boys around him all know what they are about to do. And there is a true hum of excitement coursing through the crowds. As our speed freak climbs into his ramshackle truck, he feels the squig leather coating over the wheel and traces his gnarled fingernail over the ignition. Here, his heart begins to beat faster. He knows that in a few moments he will leave this sluggish plane of normalcy and will accelerate to a place of greatness ahead of his compatriots. There will be a moment of quiet as the residing mech boss instructs the riders to start their engines, and with a deafening roar, the great bikes, trucks, and buggies fire up into life. The sheer cacophony of their motors would drown out an entire battle, and the eager drivers will continue to rev up their engines endlessly, reveling in the sensation of feeling the power of their vehicle shaking them to their cores. With the drop of a squig upon the track, the race begins. Slamming his boot down onto the large accelerator pedal, his truck lurches forward, almost catching wind as the two front wheels are briefly lifted from the ground. The dust and smoke kicked up from their starting drag occludes the entirety of the starting area, but the drivers are long gone from this stationary place. Far ahead, zooming down the track, careening around corners and charging through tunnels, our boy will be in his element. He sees nothing but the ground before him. He hears nothing but the guttural screeching of his engine. He feels nothing but the vibrations and jolts through his seat. He is present, and he is ready to leave his competitors in the dust behind him. Unbeknownst to the others, this boy was rather prudent with his spare teeth, and before the race commenced, he had paid a local mech to outfit his truck with a fancy new turbo thruster. Staring down at his mangled dashboard, he shudders with excitement at seeing the new brand spanking big red button labeled as Go Fast. And with a cheek-splitting grin, he presses it down, at which point all hell breaks loose. With a mammoth scream, the twin rockets, haphazardly bolted onto the rear of his truck, ignite into life, and the monumental force they blasted out is so great that for but a moment, the boy lost control of his wheel. But that doesn't matter. He was no longer on the track, and he was no longer in the race. He had veered off course and was now simply lurching across the Badlands, traversing the wastes at speeds which he had never experienced before. Nothing could faze him at this point. As his makeshift truck shuddered and began to crumble from the speeds, the boy couldn't help but laugh. He tore across the landscape, screaming with joy, seeing naught but red, feeling nothing but the dust slicing into his skin, and in his final moment of jubilant exhilaration before the rockets overloaded in a vast explosion, we can truly say that this boy was happy. With this, I hope it is clear to you how the rush and thrill of attaining a new top speed does in fact mirror that of a great war or battle. And so it makes sense for these boys to gain an innate sense of deep satisfaction from racing about in their customized vehicles. There is nothing that will bring them more joy than to go as fast as possible. And they will do anything they can to adapt their life in such a way that speed becomes paramount to all else. With this in mind, let us explore some of the cultural practices often observed within the adherence to the cult of speed. The first point I shall mention is the relation between the speed freaks and the members of the Orc clan known as the Evil Sons. These two groups are not one in the same. However, there is a great deal of overlap between the clan and the cult. Members of the cult of speed will often gravitate towards joining in with the Evil Sons, simply because they too share in their keen interest in all things speedy. And so it is not uncommon to find Evil Sons tribes, which are almost entirely made up of orcs who identify as speed freaks. There is, however, a distinction to be made between the two groups. To be a follower of the Evil Sons does not necessarily mean that you have a soul-gnawing obsession with going fast. Some of the tribal boys who have thrown in their hats with the clan will acknowledge the importance of mechanized combat and will see the vast fleets of trucks and battle wagons as simply being a means to an end, since mounting a transport will allow them to get stuck into battle far quicker than if they were to go into war on foot. These boys, however, are far too timid and lack any form of ambition to be considered as true speed freaks. Yes, They might enjoy the sensation of riding a truck, but they only do so because it means they can engage with their enemy that much faster. An actual full-blooded adherent to the cult of speed, however, only cares about going fast above all else. He will gladly throw caution to the wind and do whatever he possibly can in order to zoom across the wastes faster than his kin, and this propensity to speed can result in some slightly unorky activities. It is not uncommon for true speed freaks to arrive at a battle several days after it had ended, because they got distracted with racing each other in the surrounding environment, and joining in with the fighting was simply not enticing enough for them to cease in their raucous contest. Conversely, however, sometimes planning out a war with the speed freaks can be a most challenging endeavor. Before the war boss has even finished explaining his plan, the cultists will have rushed off to their bikes before careening out of the camp towards the enemy, where they only wish to claim the prize of entering the battle first, since that means he was the fastest of all orcs. This has often resulted in their inevitable deaths, and the boss will be forced to rethink his plans, since the foolish freaks will have alerted the enemies to their presence. Another point to mention regarding their culture would concern their appearance, and this would be of their propensity towards coating absolutely everything they own in red paint. For the orcs, they believe that certain colors carry with them some form of power. And so, for example, they think that green is the strongest color, and so the fact that they are born with green skin means that they are tougher and better than all others throughout the galaxy. But for the speed freaks, they have a saying, and it is that red ones go faster. They see the color red as exemplifying speed, and so anything which has been coated in red pigment will naturally be faster than if it was not. Because of this, they will stain every part of their vehicles with several coats of thick red coloring, since it will make their rig far more aerodynamic, and their engines will be able to rev up to new, extreme levels. Similarly, it would make sense for the boy to want to paint himself red, since he will also be able to move faster than if he had simply left himself uncoated. As such, he will be adorned with war paints and tattoos, all of which have been performed with red oils and pigments, sometimes sourced from questionable places. The reason I say this is because red paint is actually a rather rare resource for the orcs. It is obviously in an incredibly high demand across a camp, and so it will be shockingly expensive for a boy to buy a legitimate source of crimson dye, and within a camp controlled by the cult of speed, it will be almost impossible to find a consistent supply. But with all the orcs being so desperate for their crimson cosmetics, sometimes they will resort to knockoff replacements to meet their needs. Boys will collect buckets of blood from the fallen foes of a battlefield, or skim the top off of industrial oils spilling out from a mech shop, which will then be mixed with rendered squig fats to produce an odd, slightly murky, scarlet solution. Whilst it is certainly not as bright or striking as a true red pigment, the orcs know that red is red, and so they will happily lather themselves up in the gruesome sanguine viscera of their enemies, all to attain a new top speed. In any case, with all the boys now waddling about, leaving trails of red boot prints in their wake, we should now learn of their intimate relationship with the mechs. Every orc tribe will have some members who identify as mechs. However, for the groups who have become adherents to the cult of speed, they will try to attract mobs of wandering mechs to join in with their clan and to construct a new mech shop upon their grounds. The reason behind this is that even though the speed freaks simply love to go fast, They aren't quite bright enough to modify their vehicles with better engines or improved wheels, and so they must rely upon the crude but effective skill set of the mechs in order to meet this goal. I should note here that whilst this arrangement would seem to favor the frantic speed freaks, it is actually a mutually beneficial situation between the two groups. Obviously, the boys will gain their customized and souped-up equipment, but we must remember that for the mechs, they love nothing more than tinkering and building new mechanical tools. As such, for them to live in a camp where there is a constant flow of rabid customers who will endlessly seek out new modifications for their vehicles is just about the best situation for a mech to be in. Also to point out, aside from them simply enjoying themselves in this profession, the mechs will quickly find themselves in the possession of a bountiful pile of teeth for all of their services. Every modification or upgrade that a boy requires will need to be paid for, and so the long line of orcs standing outside of the mech shop will each need a healthy pile of liquidity with which to pay for these vital changes. In any case, once the mechs move into a camp, they will begin to make some rather large and sprawling changes to the architectural landscape of the area. They will build their vast workshops in which to operate out of, and these will be simply filled to the brim with all manner of exotic yet crude tools which have been custom made for the mech's grizzled hands. The roofs and walls of pre-existing buildings will be greatly expanded until the structures seem to resemble something more akin to a large warehouse. But it is here that some of the larger battle wagons or mobile fortresses will be kept. There will be a constant racket emitted from within these mechanical plants, and the thick haze of soot and smoke which belch out from the various chimneys will coalesce into a tremendous black cloud hovering above the camp like a dark omen. Meanwhile, the grounds outside of the workshop will be heavily marred from the weight of trucks and bikes which are ever coming and going to be repaired or fitted with new, highly customized internal mechanisms. With all the mechanical skills of the mechs, rather often they will be petitioned by the various speed freak boys to build them a racetrack, to which the odd boy will happily oblige, for he will be thrilled to sit back and watch his motorized creations zooming about in his spare time. As such, he will direct his many subservient grots to produce a course which only the most death-defying of orcs will be able to race through. Expansive straightaways, long enough to allow a competitor to reach their absolute top speed, will be followed by the tightest of hairpin bends, before sweeping into disjointed chicanes, all of which have been placed in an attempt to cause the orcs to veer off course and crash in a tremendously entertaining fireball. But once the track has been built, speed freaks will flock from far and wide, with the greatest and most highly renowned of courses attracting visitors from far-off stars who wish to test their new bikes around the Daredevil Trail. It should be no surprise to you that having a famous racetrack will inevitably cause the tribe itself to swell to a truly prodigious size, as many of the speed freaks will decide to settle down and join in with the local group. This will cause the tribe to exponentially grow as more and more racers hear of the growing commotion, and none will want to be left out of this orky Grand Prix. Now that we understand a little more about the culture and general proclivities of the speed freaks, I would be remiss to discuss these orcs without showing off some of their more bombastic and unique of vehicles. Whilst the interiors of the mech shops will be filled with half-formed contraptions, it is outside in the streets where we will find the majority of the orky motors. Every available space within a camp will be utterly littered with the personalized transports for each orc who is rich enough to afford one, and he will gladly show off his magnificent wheels, much to the envy of his poorer kin. These will ever be watched over by the owner himself, or by a series of paid guards, who along with their squigs will make sure that no pesky grots attempt to steal away any loose screws or wheels from this prized vehicle. I will quickly note that depending on the mech who constructed the machine and of the boy who commissioned it, these vehicles can take wildly different forms. Some may have odd numbers of wheels or additional engines strapped in place of gun batteries, and others might even be equipped with crude wrecking balls or strange contraptions cooked up in the depths of the mech shop. But without further ado, let us investigate the many vehicles of the orcs. To start with, let us look at a battle wagon. These are truly gargantuan pieces of orky engineering, being comparable to a mobile fortress or gunboat more than anything else. The sheer size of these hulking behemoths is nothing short of awe-inspiring to the orcs and terrifying to their enemies. Several tons of heavy steel and iron will be welded together into a dense chassis, which will trundle along on several immense wheels or a large clanking system of treads. From here, the wagon can take many different forms. Some will be left relatively open, all so that more and more boys can fit into its bay. These transportation variations can fit dozens of orcs, but it is only the finest warriors of a war band who will be permitted to mount these mechanical wonders. This variant will almost always be fitted with a turbocharged engine and several tanks of rocket-based boosters, all so that the driver can get his band of boys into the front line as quickly as possible. Another common feature for these versions of the battle wagons will be to mount a gigantic death roller onto the front of the vehicle. This colossal implement will crush anything in its path, and there are few throughout the galaxy who could withstand the immense weight of a death roller without being turned into a smear of red paste. Similarly, the speed freaks will often choose to adorn their wheels with large spikes, ensuring that if a battle wagon was to careen past an enemy, that they would still be sure to take out their legs with a vicious slice. Additionally, some of the more innovative of speed freaks will decide to attach a squig launching device onto their wagon. This will allow them to fling rabid and crazed squigs into an enemy battle line, which will cause naught but chaotic havoc for their foes and gut-busting hilarity for the orcs. Not all battle wagons are suited for transport, and some will have been converted into being more of a mobile artillery piece. These will have been fitted with great kill cannons in their rear, and the rest of the tank will be simply brimming with smaller weaponry, which the innumerable grots and boys within will be able to target at the various enemies of the orcs. Some of the wagons will be fashioned into looking similar to the great beasts which the ancient feral orcs used to hunt. This will manifest as mechs mounting a large plow to the front of the motor, made to appear as a huge jaw to some type of bull-like creature. Being smaller than a great battle wagon, we will find the humble orc truck. These are relatively light and somewhat ramshackle vehicles, which consist of a wide transport bay in the rear, bolted onto a crude frame, which can fit a small squad of boys who will have to suffer through a rather uncomfortable journey to the front lines. The cramped conditions often leads to the boys to start squabbling and fighting with each other, and sometimes the driver might become bored enough to jump in the back to get stuck in with his mob, at which point another orc will simply rush forward to take the wheel. In any case, these trucks are not the most impressive pieces of technology to be found in an orc camp, and in fact, they are incredibly dangerous to ride within. Though some will be plated with additional layers of armor, most trucks will simply collapse and crumble after suffering from a salvo of even small arms fire. Even their wheels will sometimes be so crudely attached that a simple bump in the road will cause one to fly off the axle, leading to the truck crashing and the disgruntled boys tumbling out in an angry heap of immobile greenskins. But if we assume the truck to be functional, they can still appear as rather interesting contraptions. The owners will customize them with ornaments or glyphs, all of which he believes to make the vehicle faster or more durable against enemy attacks. Some will have been outfitted with boarding ramps, meaning that the truck can pull up alongside another vehicle, then latch on with this jagged plank, allowing the boys to cross and take over the motor for themselves. Now that we have covered the transports of the orcs, let us look into some of their more personalized vehicles. Firstly, we shall cover the war bikes. These motors are to be considered less so as a method of transportation and more as an extension of the speed freak himself. His own bike will have been completely customized to match his own expectations and needs for such a vehicle, and it will have been converted into something of a work of art comparable to none other within a camp. Every single bike will be utterly unique and distinct from one another, and the menagerie to be found within a great conclave of bikers is something which even a Mechanicus Tech priest would be somewhat impressed by. One bike may have been outfitted with an engine so large that the boy can barely see straight ahead of him, whereas others might have been formed into more of a war trike or buggy, which could be large enough for his close companion to ride out into battle with him. Almost every speed freak will at some point desire to own a bike, simply because it is one of the purest and most accessible ways for a boy to attain a new level of raw speed. Gripping onto the handlebars, feeling the rumble of the engine, and experiencing the wind blowing in his face is nothing short of intoxicating to an orc, and to be the satisfied owner of a new bike will make you positively glow with pride over your mechanical mount. Because the mechs will have built these bikes to primarily be as fast as possible, they often lack any form of comfortable seating or suspension, meaning that the riders will often leave their motors feeling rather shaken from the experience. Do not misinterpret this as being a negative, for the orcs simply see the rough ride as being a rather appealing feature of his bike, as it allows him to truly feel the power of his engine reverberating across his entire body. Whilst a bike is most impressive, there are still vehicles which can be custom made for an orc who understands that a conventional engine will simply never be capable enough to bring him to a new top speed. For example, the Megatrack Scrap Jet is a fantastic illustration of how the mechs will never let a piece of broken machinery go to waste, and they will always be able to retrofit the most valuable parts into a new mechanical creation. This vehicle will be built out of the ruined remains of an Orky fighter jet, which has become so mangled that it can no longer be taken into the air. The forward-thinking mech will strip away the wings and bolt on a set of wheels before sticking a handlebar in place of the joystick, all of which will allow a boy to race past his contemporaries at an awe-inspiring speed. Having a fully functional jet engine to power your personal dragster will put you head and shoulders above the competition, as it is highly doubtful that even a giant diesel-gulping workhorse could ever compare with this rocket-propelled creation. Despite their potential top speeds being simply unmatched by other trucks, these vehicles are less than easy to maneuver. As such, The lifespan of these scrap jets is fairly limited, not because of any fault in engineering, but simply because the boy in the driver's seat will most likely crash in a colossal fireball after but a short week of owning it. The final vehicle which I shall describe is one of the finest examples of Orky ingenuity, which has thus far been encountered throughout the galaxy. And it would be the Shock Jump Dragster. These racers, often constructed as the personal prize for a speed freak mech, will be equipped with a fairly impressive engine, well-fitted wheels, and a surprisingly comfortable seat. But the most fascinating addition to this motor will be from the custom Shock Jump technology. The mech can activate his bizarre contraption, causing a flickering warp portal to materialize in front of the dragster, which will allow him to teleport across the battlefield in the chaotic blink of an eye. It is a shockingly consistent piece of machinery, however, you must be warned, that the orcs who are known to utilize their shock jumps too often are known to descend into a strange state of madness from which there is no known cure. Within the cult of speed, every orc will aspire towards racing ahead of their kin. And yet there are some who realize that this goal will inevitably be met by the limitations of land-based movement. Though the greenskins may not be particularly well versed on the effects of friction, they do understand that at some point, your jet-powered buggy will struggle to accelerate faster simply due to the rough ground on which it rides. Because of this, the more forward-thinking and brainy of orcs will look to the skies, and it is here that they will pledge to becoming a flyboy. Considered as somewhat of a sub-faction within the cult of speed, the crazed boys who decide to abandon the ground beneath them and take to the skies are widely seen as some of the more unstable and maddened of tribal members. You could almost view them as being some of the purest of speed freaks, since they have abandoned the safety of feeling the touch of grass, all in the crazed pursuit of a higher, ever more rapturous velocity. It can be quite clear when an orc is destined to become a flyboy, as he will exhibit some strange behaviors, much to the irritation of his fellow greenskins. After an astonishing and stimulating race, most speed freaks will bask in the euphoric glow of their impressive achievements, but there will be some who seem far more distressed at their performance. These orcs will jump into a frenzy, furious at their suboptimal speeds, and they will often simply rush out to attack the mech who installed his rocket booster, since it clearly did not accelerate him into a new plane of speedy reality. This type of behavior, whilst common within an orc camp, does have its limits, and at some point, the boys will become estranged from the rest of their clan, being forced to the outskirts where they will be kept at a safe distance from their more stable of kin. But it is here that their true manic potential will blossom. There is a great benefit to be found from an orc who cares this deeply about speed, and they will prove to be excellent test subjects for some of the more ambitious and creative of mechs. Not every odd boy engineer is so limited that he only wishes to build more tanks, trucks, or bikes, and some will have long dreamed of building an orky contraption which can escape to the boundless expanse of the skies, where it will soar across the world as his final and true masterpiece. But his magnum opus of aeronautical eminence will require a pilot, and there are to be none more suited for this task than of the estranged speed freaks who found their life on the ground as being simply too slow. As such, after floating his idea to the boys, the mech will then have a full roster of orcs who are ready and willing to push themselves into new heights, and it is here that the first of the flyboys will take form. Within the depths of the mech shop, he will unveil his prototype flyer. The excitement in the room at seeing this majestic treasure will be simply palpable, and many of the boys will not be able to contain themselves from attempting to jump in and start the engine without even knowing of how to pilot the contraption. In any case, the actual aircraft is rather impressive, at least by Ork standards. The main body of the jet will essentially be a huge engine, replete with turbochargers, booster packs, and overfilled fuel tanks, all of which will come together to produce a truly stupendous amount of thrust. The two ramshackle wings will have been bolted and welded on, often at an uneven angle, but that is a problem which the boy must simply figure out mid-flight. Attached to this craft will be a myriad of impressive weaponry, all of which can be customized to suit the specific needs and desires of the pilot. For instance, a burner bomber variant will be equipped with as much incendiary ordnance as can be possibly strapped to its frame, allowing the crazed burner boy pilot to drop an immense inferno upon his foes, producing fireballs which are often so large that they will scorch the underside of his aircraft after being dropped. Alternatively, a Dakar jet will eschew the use of bombs in favor of humble shooters. It will be utterly bristling with weapons of every caliber, all of which have been hooked up to a single trigger, allowing the piloting Ork to unleash a hellstorm of heavy lead into his targeted foes. Regardless of what they have been outfitted with, the flyboy will happily mount his new aircraft, and with a reassuring thumbs up from a nearby grot, he will start the ignition, causing the immense engine to roar into life. His heart, pounding within his green chest from excitement, will be near ready to explode, but the boy cares not. He is about to take flight, and he couldn't care less about anything other than of what speed he is soon to reach. Slamming down on the wonky joystick, he is lurched back into his seat as the jet blasts backwards, sending the contraption hurtling down the runway. A huge portion of the grot crowd who had assembled to watch are reduced to smoldering ash by the immense backblast produced from the exhaust. But that is simply a problem for the local runt herders to resolve. Meanwhile, the flyboy, reaching the end of the runway, can barely keep his eyes open. He has never experienced a speed such as this before, and yet this is nothing compared to what he is soon to reach, as it is only up from here. Gripping the joystick with his gnarled hands, he yanks it backwards, causing the scrap craft to suddenly jolt upwards, finally leaving the confines of his world, where he may kiss the heavens as the first Ork to attain flight. At this point, he's nothing short of euphoric. Though he is by no means an expert at piloting an aircraft, it could only be a flyboy speed freak to decipher the crude workings of this fantastic contraption. Almost as if he was born with an innate knowledge in aeronautics, the boy will dive, careen, and corkscrew through the air, ever increasing in speed, until he feels that he is ready to push it to a higher level. Flicking a few switches, he will activate the various auxiliary jet boosters and fuel injectors, all of which will burst forth with an immense increase in thrust, accelerating him beyond all that he ever thought was possible. For the boys back on land, they will see this contraption belching out an impressive trail of thick black smoke, and the mech will simply stand in satisfied awe, seeing this creation as having surpassed his every expectation. This sense of accomplishment, however, will not last long. The jet, high up in the air, is still accelerating, but this makeshift aircraft could never have been expected to endure the tremendous forces being applied to it. As small armor panels begin to fall off, and as the wings themselves start to bend and contort, the boy will reach his terminal velocity. Closing his eyes, his final thought will be that he has reached some equivalent to an Orky Nirvana, all attained through his utter devotion to speed. At this point, however, the ramshackle jet engine will have become overloaded, and with a breathtaking explosion, the entire aircraft will simply vanish in a marvelous fireball before raining back down to the planet's surface in a deluge of burning scrap. The mech, still proud of his work, will brush himself off before calling up the next flyboy to try out his second prototype. And this process will continue until he has finally perfected his creation and produced a functioning Orky Ducker jet. With this, we shall come to the end of our sermon. Truly, the orcs, whilst a rambunctious and relentlessly barbaric species, are nothing short of fascinating. To see a group which was quite literally bred for war, ending up with unique cultural practices which can manifest as organizing great races, is honestly baffling. However, as we have discussed, it seems to be rooted within their very souls to aspire towards a new speed. I will quickly mention that it is not just the boys themselves who become enamored by the cult of speed, as we have encountered great war bosses who are fervent speed freaks themselves. These warlords, known as speed bosses, will lead vast motorized caravans consisting of untold thousands of bikes, war buggies, tanks, and trikes, all of which will leave an indelible scar across the landscape as they carve their way across a world in their pursuit of a new war. Similarly, fly bosses have also become infamous throughout the galaxy. These tribal leaders will have crumped all of his other flyboys into submission, and he will fly at the head of his squadron, potentially directing hundreds of Ducker jets and burner bombers to their new destination. These groups have become the bane of the aeronautical division of the Imperial Navy, who can scarcely defend themselves against the terrible flocks of Orky aircraft, which will descend upon them with their overwhelming salvos of heavy fire. In any case, to be a speed freak is to have peered inwards, and rather than finding a desire for war, you will have discovered an innate compulsion towards speed and nothing else. Life becomes an endless path of finding new ways to accelerate yourself to new heights, and for these boys, there is nothing more pure or joyful than to push yourself into a new top speed.